God speaks to us through his word. Does he not? I want to talk to you about you can trust him. 2024, you is the year you can trust him. I'll say that again because some are happy and some are not quite sure. 2024, and you don't know what's around the corner, but I know this, whatever's around the corner in your life, you can trust him. Amen. Whether you will is your choice. But the issue is, you can. Amen? If you got your Bibles this morning, your iPhones, your phones, whatever it is you use to extract the Word of God, go to Psalm 20, verse 7. We're talking about you can trust him. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 20, verse 7, some, not all, some trust in chariots. And some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in iPads, social media. Some trust in Netflix, CNN, Sky News, BBC. Some trust in mum and dad. Some trust in the pastor. Some trust in their neighbours. People are always putting their trust somewhere. The true meaning of trust is this. You have a firm belief in the reliability of truth or in the ability of someone or something. Trust means that you have a firm belief in the reliability of truth or in the ability of someone or in something. The reliability. Not a liability. Reliability. At the commencement of this year when those chimes were being, you know, rung out, people said, this year I've got ambition. I've got desires. Others said, I've got wants, I've got lack, and I've got need. Many of you will have plans and aims and goals for this year. And I want to say this to you, whether you're passive, static, erratic, or emphatic, you're going to have a firm belief in something or someone that is reliable. Amen. You get that? Whether you're passive, static, erratic, or emphatic, you're going to have a firm belief in something or in someone. You choose what you're going to put your trust in. You trust. You choose, you should say. You know, we can go through trusting many things in life, and we all know that. But you know one thing? If you want to live a life full of purpose, and I'm talking about purpose. If you want to live life meaningfully, or meaningful, I should say, you're going to have to trust in someone reliable. Amen. If you want to live life selfishly, pleasurably, blah, 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 then you'll change who you put your trust in and where you put your trust in. But if you want to live life meaningfully and purposefully, you have to trust in someone and something. We're told constantly, do not put your trust or your hope in the economy. We're told, do not put your trust in a government. This is why we've got to pray for our government. And boy, do we need to pray for our government. And there's never a time when you don't need to pray for your government. There's always a time to pray for those in authority. Why? Because God doesn't want you putting your trust in them. Seek first the kingdom. There's the first place to put your trust. Seek first the kingdom. And when you put your trust in something and it lets you down, it shows you that it wasn't reliable. Or it was unreliable. And God doesn't want us to put our trust in unreliable, unstable things. God wants us to put our trust in solid rock. Something that's reliable. Do you know he's been doing this for a long time? He's seen us come and he's seen us go. And yet he still remains. Winds blow, rains fall. But my life is built on you. Rain falls and it goes. You can't put your trust in the rain. You can't put your trust in the sun. You can't put your trust in whatever. Some will put their trust in chariots. And some will put their trust in horses. Now, why does it talk about horses and chariots? Simple. I'm glad you asked, John. The reason being, kings understood this language. If you're a man of authority and power, you understand that in order to get what you need and get what you want for your people, then horses and chariots is the way to go about it. Because horses gives you a military, and chariots give you military and maneuverability, and they give you strength and they give you power. But David understood these things, but still chose to put his trust in God. God, you said David had access to chariots and to horses. Solomon had access to all these things, but still David chose to put his trust in God. He did not put it in his iron, and he did not put it in his animals. True? Let's read it again. See, chariots and horses was the technology of the day. What the companies put their trust in today. They put their trust in their vision, in their projections. They put it in, I don't think they put it in the economy, that would be an unwise thing. But they put it in their strength. They put it in their productivity. They put it in all those kind of things that makes them an asset to somebody else out there. And then all of a sudden a change comes. They did not foresee. And all of a sudden everything within the company begins to become, it wobbles, it shakes, rattles and it rolls. Why? Because these are things you can't control. You can't control these things. Let's read it again. Some trust in chariots. Some, not all. Some in horses. But we trust in the name of our God, in the Lord our God. Now, the three companies of people it's mentioned in this scripture here. It's saying there are those who trust in chariots. So there's the iron. The people who put the trust in chariot technology. Then there are those who put their trust in horse technology. And then there are those who put their trust in the name of the Lord. So there is a their company. So when you read that, there is a some company, I should say. Some put their trust. So if you're someone who's been putting your trust in your chariots, whatever that is to you, think again. Then there are and some company. There's others who put their trust in your money, your savings, your job. Think again. But then there's the last company, but we. That's a collective. But we're not like them. We don't put our trust. We recognize they are valuable and useful. These are great assets to have. And we've got access to them, but our trust is not in them. Because horses were only good technology and chariots for so long. And then other inventions came out, and all of a sudden the chariot became obsolete. I don't think there's any chariots in Gaza right now, do you? Technology changes. Anybody who had the record player or the gramophone thought this thing's never going to go out of business. We came in this week, and the PA guys, and we were talking, and we were laughing about the technology. Ralph was talking to the team, and he's talking about, remember when we used to produce CDs after the service? And I started laughing and said, I remember what we used to do with cassettes. I remember the first time my children saw 45 singles. It's like, what, Dad? What is that? Technology changes. If you put all your stocks in CDs, or you put them in cassettes, and don't tell me vinyl's making a comeback. It's not back. It's in the shops, but it's not back. It's not in every home, is it? But we are a different company. The church should be different. It should be. The same behaviours and habits that's in the world shouldn't be in us. Now you see, King Richard at the Battle of Boswell was found declaring, my kingdom for a horse. He was willing to give all that was a treasure away for a horse. He realized that even his own horse deserted him. His own horse, he can be knocked off your own horse. Listen, any one of us can be knocked off our own high horse. And it's amazing when you get knocked off your own high horse what you will compromise. Don't compromise this year. Don't compromise. Don't be found without your horse. Don't get on your high horse. Just stay fixed. So we read that the dictionary says, it describes trust as, let me read it back to you, you have a firm belief in the reliability of truth and in the ability of someone or in something. It also means a firm belief in the character and the ability and the strength of someone or of something. Character. Character. We don't just serve a spirit being. We serve a God who has character. Amen. Character. People who trust in God develop character. I'm not into this fairy belief that God will just work everything out. God works out what God works out. You must work out what you must work out. And you're not told to work out what he's already worked out. But you are told to work out your own salvation. So you must be found walking out things out and working things out. That's your role in life. You've got to discover it. Now, to work things out, you have to build a structure into your life. A structure that's reliable. A structure that's solid. A structure that has character. That develops character, I should say. See, if you're shifting and changing your structure every 5 minutes, then you're a person with no character. Yeah? You must be convinced what is the structure of your life. Christ is my foundation. His word is my structure. Faith is part of my structure. Hope is part of my structure. Trust in him is part of my structure. They build character into me and you. Show me a person who doesn't have that and you don't see maturity. And maturity is Christian character. Are you seeing this? So I want our, I say not I, God wants our trust this year to be strengthened. He wants it to have ability and he wants it to have developed character and maturity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, says Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean, or don't depend, on your own understanding. Now that's a horse and a chariot right there. Your own understanding is a horse and chariot that you think is enough to get you where you need to go, but your understanding is minimal. It is. Until all of a sudden, God, you're thinking about one thing and you think that's the only option. And then all of a sudden, God speaks and shows you a pathway you didn't even consider. Why? Because he can show you what you've never asked for, what you've never seen and never considered. Amen. You know, when you think there's only option A or option B, let me give you some wisdom. There's never only option A or option B. Do you know what the third option is? We need a third option. I don't have to take option A or option B. There always is a third option. You just haven't thought about it. You just haven't seen it. But there's always a third option. But you think because you can only see option A and option B, that's all that's available. Time out. It's not. You need an a third option, I should say. You need some wisdom and some insight. There's never only A and B. People tell you there's only A and B and force you into that place. But God is able to show you what you've never asked for, what you've never seen and never understood. Amen. If you're willing to ask Him and trust Him. God, what is your view on this? It can't only be option A and option B. God says, no, there's not. There's more. Let me show you. Now, what you may not have is time. You may not have time. But you do have a God who's able to show you above and beyond. Amen. It depends who you're going to trust. And he says, trust in your heart, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean, or not depend, on your own understanding. And in all your ways. How many? All your ways. Acknowledge Him. And then guess what? And He will make your paths straight. Amen. Depends who you're going to acknowledge this year. Yeah. All depends who you're going to acknowledge. I love this banner. All nations may walk in the name of their gods. But we will walk. There's that we company. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God and forever and forever. That's their stance. That's who they're trusting in. Yeah? But let the walls speak for us. See, God isn't asking you and I to figure it out. He's asking you to trust in what He's already worked out. Yeah? What He's worked out, He will make known to us. Amen. What He has already worked out. The Alpha and Omega, God by His own foreknowledge, sees the beginning and the end. And He works with the end in mind. Amen. So if the God's already worked it out, there's nothing in your life that can take Him by surprise. Yeah. Nothing. He's seen it all. Because all the days ordained for you have already been written in the book. So God already knows your end. Yes? He's already told you beginning before you were, you know, you ever came to be. You know, I saw you in your mother's womb. I knitted you together. Great, that gives us hope that He was there in the beginning. But now I'm here, I need to know what the plan of God is for my life. And He said, Tony, I'm no problem making known to you and revealing to you what my plan is for your life. I've got more concern in you trusting me and acknowledging me in it. I know what your life is destined for, but you don't, and therefore you will always have this innate propensity to work out things yourself and go your own way. But I need you to trust me this year better than you did last year. And it may not have been bad last year, but better is an upgrade. Yes. There's an upgrade for faith. There's an upgrade for trust. Because I don't know about you, but when I try to work out things myself, I get stressed. I freak out. I worry. I go into doubt. I go into an head spin. I go into turmoil. I fall apart. Don't you? Or is that just me? Come on, be honest with yourself. And then all of a sudden, someone has to say, peace, brother, peace, brother. Why does someone have to bring peace? Because you're in turmoil. But ask yourself, how did I get in turmoil? That's the question. There's the root. The disciples had got themselves in a right head spin. That's why Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. So a wise man digs a hole for himself. Sorry, a wise man creates a foundation for himself. No, he doesn't dig a hole for himself. A wise man creates a foundation for himself. Is that true? Yeah. But a fool will always be unveiled. At some point, a fool will always be exposed and unveiled. And the foolish ways will always be exposed and unveiled. I've been a fool at times. I know it's hard to believe looking at this angelic face. But you know, I've been a fool at times. Have you ever been a fool?
Yes.
At times, it's different than being a fool all the time. I've done foolish things. Me and Phil know some of the foolish things we got up to. But when I say yeah, when I say we, I mean him. Do you know every family has a fool in its history. You just got to find out what part of history the fool emerges. But you see, when you've got fools in families, it creates patterns. It influences children. Paul was talking about his child before. He has his Spurs shirt on. And we were laughing and saying, children will be taught by the Lord, not by Spurs fans. And we're just jokingly, you know, and the kids will influence him as he gets to school. And at some point he's going to ask his dad, Daddy, how come we've got no silverware in our cupboard, but Man City's got it all? And since our last lecture, we're world champions. I didn't tell you about that, did I? See, that's the we company. We're successful. Whew, I've been waiting all my years to say that. 40 years in the wilderness, I waited to be able to declare the best team in the land on all the world. It's official. Paul, come over to this side. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's room for you, son. Come on. Him, he's gone. He's gone. He's red. But every family can recreate a foundation. Whatever has gone on in your family, last year, the year before, whatever foolishness arose in your family, this is the year to correct it. Amen. Patterns. Wrong patterns that have running through. You can see them beginning to run through. This is the year, and I've got a word for you to hold on to. Let's go to Isaiah 25. Oh, sorry, just hold on a minute. Just go, hang on, let me just say something else first. You can go to Isaiah. It's Isaiah 58. But before that, I want to say some things. This thing about foolishness. I've realized in my own family, throughout history, there was foolishness. And foolishness created in my family. Every foolishness has its own behavior. Has its own behavior. In our family, there was a lot of divorce. And there was a lot of affairs. And things like that ran through our family. Until it came to me and Shirley, that's my sister, who works in the children's area right now. Me and her both decided one day that when we saw it at our parents, it was not going to come into our family. And we decided in Christ that we would break that, you know, and that was our stance. Because we saw foolishness emerging at different epochs of time. And when I became a pastor in this church, I saw foolishness arise at certain stages of this church. And I preached a message to the leaders on the seas of leadership. And I highlighted all the seas, and one of them was carelessness. And we began to knock it on the head and begin to redig the foundation so that the present generation crossing into us didn't have to bear the hallmarks of that bad history. And at times you have to go and redig and uproot and tear down and go back into. I'm not talking about curses. I'm just talking. I don't want to go down that line. I want to talk about foolishness. Because foolishness causes us to shift our focus away from God. Because if we'd have been focused on God, we wouldn't have been foolish. So in Isaiah 25:3, we see this man called Nabal or Nabal. How you want to pronounce it? Now, Abigail is a sweet woman. She's a sweet woman. She's got her senses. She's got character. She's got maturity. She's got wisdom. But yet, she's married a dipstick. She's married a right complete numpty. Fool. Idiotic. He's rash with his mouth. David sends men to try and see if he will extend some kindness to them. And all he does, he rebukes and begins to bring down insults on David. So David's just about to take his head off. And we read here that in 25 verse 3, his name was Nabal and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. Thank God for intelligent women. But her husband, a Calebite, was surely and mean in his dealings. So there's his character right there. So when you've got mean, when you're mean in your dealings, there's going to be patterns of meanness. There's going to be dysfunctional behavior that brings chaos and meanness in the family. Is that fair to say? But thank God for an intelligent, beautiful woman. I'm glad I'm talking to intelligent, beautiful women this morning. All of you should say yes. And her husband should turn around and say, absolutely, you're talking about my missus. Then go down to verse 25. Don't talk about anybody else's missus, just your own. In verse 25, and then she's then David. Oh, sorry. 1 Samuel, sorry, I've got, yeah. Not Isaiah, sorry. One's Isaiah and the other. No, it's Samuel. Thank you. 1 Samuel, sorry, Phil. I've even got it down as 1 Isaiah in here. There's no such thing as 1 Isaiah. That's a typo. 125, sorry, 1 Samuel 25, verse 3. And then go down to verse 25. And when all this dealings has gone on and David's going to chop his head off, Abigail runs out and she begins to, with that intelligence of hers, begins to expose and reveal her husband. And this is what she says. May my Lord pay no attention to this wicked man. This is your husband. He's just like his name. His name is Fool. Watch this. And folly goes with him. She's married to a dipstick. And all that this dipstick's character portrays is going to run right through his family. And eventually, when she tells him what she did, he eventually has a heart attack and he dies. And eventually she ends up becoming David's wife. In other words, he's got dysfunctional behavior. He's got patterns of dysfunction, and his future is looking bleak. This is a man who does not trust in God, but this woman, she's intelligent. She sees something that this man is going to only ever do one thing. He's going to bring ruin to us with his mouth and his behavior. And yet he was wealthy. That's why David went to him for some resources. And sometimes God will send us to people who've got resources, but they're fools. They know how to accumulate it, but they don't know how to use it. Irrespective of what has taken place in your foundation, in your family, in your lineage, this is a year that you can put things right. But put it right in yourself first. Don't be quick to look at others and blame others. Start with yourself and work backwards. Because once you're right, see, when my father had his affairs, it left me very bitter and angry. In fact, it made me mad. But God had to do something with me. God came to my door. Through my father, I hadn't spoke to my father for 7 years. And God knocked, and said, God, my father knocked on the door, looking like a hobo who had been sleeping on the streets. His life had gone reckless. My mum had kicked him out, and so she should have. And he knocks on the door, and my secretary comes up to my office, and she says, there's a man at the door, he's asking for you. And everything, I came downstairs, and my father stood at the door of the church. And I wanted to just slam the door right in his face. But that would have been Nabal. And God says, don't shut the door to him. I thought, oh, okay. So text him upstairs in the office. And I picture the scene in my office right at the back there. There's all these books, so it looks like the intelligent one. I'm the one who struggled at school. But I'm sat there with all this looking intelligent, all these books I've never read. I have read them. I haven't. But they sure look good for a photograph, don't they? And he sat there, and I'm behind my desk. So the position of power, my father never asked me for any advice in his life. And he sits there, and he said, I've come to ask you for advice. I wanted to punch him. And all the anger and bitterness. Anyway, long story short, he goes home. God began to deal some work in my heart. And one day I'm preaching. And who walked through the door? My father. Oh, This is the day when God starts to, son, you're still bleeding there, we need some stitches. And as he walks through the door, he walks down the front of the church here, never having spoken to me there, just wanting to kill him. And he says the words of validation that every son wants to hear. And he says, son, I'm proud of you. It's like, God, you could have done this private. You could have done this private. Nabal walked through the door. You may have been the foolish one. And God wants to extend his kindness to you this year. And he says, go back and fix what's wrong. Go back and fix what's wrong. And the hand of love and grace will be extended to you. And I had to be that hand. So God was healing me, but healing him. We finished our relationship before he finally passed on in good, in reasonable shape. I was one who found him dead. But guess what? I could release him knowing that there's no problem in my heart. And that paved the way for me for my future. Because my future, it doesn't need pain in it. And it doesn't need dysfunction in it. But guess what? It does need a moment to go and redig the foundation. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Nabal's are everywhere. Just don't let God have to call you Nabal. Yeah? So, how many of you know that every saint has a past? Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. But you've got to move from one of those positions. And it causes sometimes, it requires God to intervene in our lives. I was once a sinner. I'm a saint. A saint with a future. But when my past was coming to meet me at the crossroad, it could have derailed my future. I had to deal with it. And it's painful and it's ugly and it's messy. And it's tears involved and snot in your face. All the stuff that we don't like. It could have been a movie. There was no violins in the back. There was no music being played. It was just, I'm proud of you. Fancy saying that's like a knife right into my heart. It's what I needed. It's what I needed to hear. And I just think God will do it publicly. If he can't do it privately, he'll do it publicly. Don't ever let it get to the point where he has to do it publicly. I thank God for that moment. I thank God for that moment. Do you know why? Because my sons never have to go through that. My sons never have to go through that. My daughter doesn't have to go through that. Why? Because I was always the first one to make sure that that door was shut and he was never coming into our family. Am I perfect? Well, kind of, but no, I'm not. Far from it. But you know what? One thing I've got with my kids that my dad never had with me was dialogue. Dialogue is a pathway and it kind of puts sand on the ice. Salt on the ice, you should say. Anyway, Isaiah. Now we're in Isaiah. Not one Samuel. I've got one Isaiah written down here. One Isaiah and the other, I think. Your people, Isaiah 58, verse 12. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. And will raise up the age-old foundation. Sometimes you're the people who's got to build the ancient ruins and build up the old foundation that's in your family. Are you seeing this? Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. It's time to go and raise up the old foundations and get them healthy. You will be called a repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. It's time to redig a foundation in the family this year. We can trust him. I said we can trust him to do this. In Isaiah, I'm going to highlight the people first and then I'm going to read the text to you later, okay? So first of all, if we're going to rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations and you're going to be called the repairer of the broken walls, the restorer of the streets with dwellings, I want to highlight some people that God says, I've got my eye on you this year and my blessing and my anointing and my grace goes with you. The first one is the barren. The barren woman. The barren couple. And when I talk about the barren couple, obviously we think in terms of children. But barrenness can be fruitfulness. Whether it's children or it's other things beyond children. Barrenness is still stopping fruitfulness from coming into your life. Yeah? Everyone considered barren this year can become fruitful. Let me say that again. Everyone who was considered barren, whether it's for children or it's for prosperity, and you've been barren, you've sowed, but you've seen nothing for your seed, you can become fruitful this year. Amen. You can trust him. Amen. Sarah, Rachel, Hannah were all people who could testify you can trust him. Amen. Read their accounts of how they trusted God and saw God and thought about God in their turmoil. They trusted God. Whatever the doctor or the medical condition, whatever your bank statement is, the story can change. Amen. You can trust him. I said you can trust him. Amen. You can trust him for sure. The second category of person here is the widow. In Isaiah, God speaks to the widow. And the reproach of your widow. This means the expression of disapproval and disappointment, shame or guilt that comes upon a widow. God says, I've got you in my eyesight. My eyes are on you this year to lift off any shame, to lift off any struggle. You hear me? Amen. Any disappointment, shame or guilt, God speaks to you and says, you're in my plans. I'll cover you. You can trust him. You know, historically speaking, in Israel, the widow whose husband dies, leaving his wife, left the wife with fear. Who's going to take care of us? How will things work? Will I survive? What? How can I? What if? All these questions brought fear and anxiety. God says, I've got my eye on you. Don't worry. Trust me. And I'll show you how you can rise above. Amen? You can trust him. You can trust him. The next category of people. Those who have been betrayed. Now listen to this carefully. Don't make your own conclusions. Let me finish. Those who have been betrayed. Let down, neglected, rejected, and forsaken, not a full stop there, by their spouse. Being married is a covenant. But there's nothing like a covenant to betray us. To reject us. To forsake us. When someone walks out of a covenant, the damage it creates to that foundation. You feel neglected, rejected, forsaken. God says, it's not over. You can trust me. No person leaving you or walking out or doing those things is going to determine your future if you trust me. I can heal and restore anything, or I can make things new. Or I can bring something, someone, to your life. At a convergence point, trust God for a convergence. The next category of people is parents with rebellious children. It's a difficult thing for a parent to see the children going in rebellion and the ways that can take a child, because that is foolishness, which creates a pattern in the family and chaos. You've done everything possible to try and keep your child on the path. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Those with rebellious children, let me declare to you, your children will be taught by the Lord. Amen. You can trust him. You can trust him. The last category of people there's a word for is those who have been falsely accused and misjudged by others. Those who have been falsely accused and misjudged by others. You're not designed to carry the burden all your life. There comes a point when you've got to put it down. God says, you can trust me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah? You can trust me with those rebellious children. You can trust me with that relationship that's left you, that let you down, neglected you, rejected you, forsake you. You can trust me as a widow. You can trust me with the barrenness. You can trust me if you've been falsely misjudged or accused. You can trust me. I am your redeemer. I am your judge. Amen. Yeah? There's a higher appeal. This is the Supreme Court we can take our concerns to. There is a courtroom in heaven that you and I can appeal to. Amen? Amen. And it's not called the pastor's office. I'm not the courtroom. He is the supreme one. Yeah? You can trust him. We can trust him. You can trust him. I can trust him. But you see, it might sound strange when the instruction comes to the barren woman to sing. How can I sing? How can I sing if I've been misjudged or I've been let down or been forsaken? There's something about singing that begins to set the heart and the mind apart from the pain. There's something, I'm not just suggesting we just sing songs. That's not what this is saying. So I go in a room and I just sing all day and I have choir practice on my own. No, this is a spiritual thing. It's not a mechanical thing. You know the difference, or do you know the difference? Example, I'm going to use you as an illustration. Not that you fall into this category. John sings, Edna sings. One's in the spirit, one's just using the mechanics. Do we know the difference when one, from two people singing, one's in the spirit and one's using the voice, natural mechanical voice? God does. God does. There are sometimes you make the journey when you start singing. That's mechanical. You've got to start the engine first. Amen? But then at some point, you've got to make a journey into the spirit. Where the heart takes over, not now the mind. The mind wants to remember the words. That's why I'm in the spirit. Because I can never remember the words to any song. So if you can transition into the spirit, a whole world opens up for you. With answers and solutions you don't get over here. Because your mind's focused on the words. Yeah? And you're focused on the peripheral. But when in the spirit, you can let your heart go and you cross over into another dimension. And this is what he's saying. Single barren woman. There's something that has to move you beyond your present condition. Amen. There has to be a journey you make in the spirit where your focus begins to change from your circumstances to the solution. Yeah. You see this? And worship is a journey we make in the spirit. It's not mechanical, though it involves mechanics. Your voice is mechanical, but your heart is spiritual. You can keep your heart separate if you don't open it. You can just sing. Yeah? But you look at people when they really get behind. You look at these guys at football matches and they take the shirt off. And they just let them say, I'll support you evermore. You're thinking, what a dipstick. You're 45, 50 years of age. Go and get a life. And they mean it. And they've given the heart for that moment. And then all of a sudden, Nabal, there he is without his shirt on. looking like a dipstick on TV, you're thinking, go and sort yourself out. At least, if you're going to do it, put your shirt on. My Lord. So Isaiah 54, verse 1. Single barren woman. You know, all these categories of people that I've mentioned are in here. You highlight which one you are. You feel right now. That's not your fixed condition. That's your present situation. You can go back and fix the foundation. Single barren woman, you who never bore a child. I'm going to read it a bit fast, so bear with me. Burst into song, shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than her who was a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch forth your curtains wide. Don't hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you'll spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Don't be afraid. You'll not suffer shame. Don't fear disgrace. You won't be humiliated. You'll forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all earth. Amen. The Lord will call you back as if you were deserted and distressed in spirit. A wife who married a young only to be rejected, says the Lord. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. That's to the fool. Yeah? In a surge of anger I hid my face for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again come cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains shall be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace removed, says the Lord. Who has compassion on you? Oh, afflicted city, lashed by the storms, and I'm not comforted. I'll build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires. I'll make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkled jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. And all your sons will be taught by the Lord. And great will be your children. There's a prophetic promise here. And an instruction, if you hold on to it, you can stabilize your foundations and readdress them. What's happened to you is not the end of the story. What's happened has happened. But from here, we can go forward differently and we can repair and restore what's happened. Yes, amen. Amen? I can't change what's happened, but I can repair how it's affected me. Yeah, I can't bring my mother and father back, and I can't stop my father doing what he did. But the point is, he didn't have to. God repaired me. Now I can help others. So I can help others without any sense of bitterness in my heart. Yeah? It's important. I can talk about marriage. Why? Even though I've seen a flawed pattern, I've got a pattern. My own marriage is a pattern. And my own sister's marriage is a pattern. Here's the offspring. So when you get a pattern, when you have a false pattern and God repairs it, you have a new pattern to present. So the family lineage can go on in a different light. Yeah. Amen? It's a beautiful thing when you trust God. If anyone does attack you, verse 15, if anyone attacks you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you, you will surrender to you. See, where are we going? Verse 16. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flames and forges the weapons fit for its work. And it is who was created the destroyer to work havoc. No servant of the Lord. Yeah, here we go. Hang on. Verse 17. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. That's for those who have been falsely accused. You can take it back. I want to tell you what he's saying to us is we can trust him. Amen. We can trust him. Tell yourself, I can trust him this year. Whatever I go through, I can trust him. This is the word of the Lord to some people in here. Well, you walked in this morning with the issues of the 2023. But it's important that you get hope for 24. And you have a companion who will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to read something to you. And I want to emphasize this truth that you can trust him. Are you ready for it? I said, are you ready for it?
Yeah.
No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. You can trust him.
Amen.
He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He is God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He is the counterpiece of civilization. And I'm trying to tell you, church, you can trust him.
Amen.
He does not have to call for help. And you can't confuse him. He doesn't need you and he doesn't need me. And he stands alone in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled, he's unprecedented. He's supreme and he is permanent. And you and I can trust him. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem of higher criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And he is a miracle of this age. He is a superlative of everything good that you can call, him. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, we can trust him. He can satisfy all our needs. And he can do it all simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted, the tried, and the tired. He sympathizes and he sees. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinners. And he discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young and he guards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, we can trust him.
Amen.
He is the key to knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the doorway of deliverance. And he's the pathway to peace.
Amen.
He is the roadway to righteousness. And he's the highway to holiness. He's the gate to glory. A gate that we can go through. And we can trust him.
Amen.
He is the master of the mighty. He is the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. And he's the governor of the governors. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. And we can trust him.
Amen.
His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. Am I describing him to you this morning?
Amen.
His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And I'm trying to tell you, we can trust him.
Amen.
He's indescribable because he's incomprehensible. He's irresistible and he's invincible. You can get him, you can't get him off your hands. You can't get him out of your mind. And you can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Pilate couldn't stand him. When he found out, he couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get a testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And thank God, the grave could not hold him.
Amen.
There's nobody before him. There's nobody after him. He had no predecessor, and he will have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he ain't going to resign anytime soon. We can trust him. We can trust him. He's given us opportunity this year to trust him. He's given you opportunity this year, and it starts right now as you receive this word. As we dismiss this service and we walk out of this door, what are you walking out with? Greater trust or still the doubt you walked in with? So Psalm 9:9 says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." That's a promise. Last scripture, Romans 15:13 says this, "And may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him." Some things can't come to you unless you keep trusting in him. The more you trust, the more God keeps depositing. So that you, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace so that you can trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. We can trust him. We can trust him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, Paul, if you'd like to lead us into a song. Are you going to trust better, stronger, deeper this year? Amen. Do you believe you can trust him?
Yes.
I know we can trust him. Yes. Because when we share with some of the things that's in our hearts this year, we're going to have to trust him. Yes. We're going to have to trust him. I said we're going to have to trust him. Yes. We are tuned. I want you to focus on Isaiah this week, if you will. Isaiah 58. Go from, sorry, 54, sorry, 54. Isaiah 54, reading from 1 to 11. And I want you to find out, reading there, and identify with what God is saying. Yes, he's talking to Israel, but all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching, training, correcting in matters of righteousness. God is speaking to us through what's been written. You get your portion personally through what God is speaking to us corporately. Yes. Amen. That's how God speaks. We know the context was Israel, but he's talking to us personally. That's why he says, "Read my word." Yeah. And I want us to declare, I wanted to preach this message before next week we dedicate ourselves. Because I don't want us to bring in an emotional response. I want us to go away and think about that when we come to dedicate this year to the Lord next week, we come having had some space to think about what I'm dedicating. Yes. Is that fair?
Yes.
It's not right to seize an emotional opportunity without any substance behind it. I'm fair like that. God is merciful to me, I'm merciful to you. So let's raise our hands. Guys, just lead us in that song, if you will. Yes, Lord. Submission.
This is my story. This is my song. Mine's in my place, ring of Omega, all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I sought the love. The Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in him. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I saw the Lord, and he heard. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
So I trust in
God, my Savior, the one who will never say,
He will never fail.
Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But it's the we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Father, I trust, O God, that your word has been delivered today, that every heart has received, and I pray, Father, for the seed will be watered this week. It will be watered and not trodden down, not trodden on, but watered by the Holy Ghost. Lord, let it flourish in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a standing ovation. Woo!